had for him in this round when he suddenly landed the punch downwind, go on all fours. At the count of five, he keeled over. Then tried to get up, did get up, but Billy Wiggins says, no, sir, the count had reached 10. Floyd Patterson has retained the heavyweight championship in one of the most scintillating heavyweight championship fights of all time.
Floyd Patterson's win marked the end of a fine boxing rivalry and the beginning of a friendship that would span decades. 21 years later, in 1982, Patterson and Johansson raced together in the New York City Marathon. And unlike their fights, both men went the distance.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. I took the good time.
AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Strong.
Yes, I'd like to ask for a motion right now.
Okay.
Because we had an item that was pulled by a person who has left the room and isn't even here anymore.
That was item 12?
Yes. Okay. So I'd like to hear item 12 now because there doesn't seem any purpose to keep it at the end of the agenda.
So item 12 of consent agenda, let's go ahead and get the report on that. Ditas, you have something for us so we can get that one taken care of.
Council, so in 2009, as Mr. Bausch referred to earlier, the city received approval from Caltrans for the final project study report and environmental documents for the interchange improvements at US Highway 101 and State Route 46 West. In early 2020, that PSR was further reevaluated by GHD and confirmed that the two roundabouts is still a feasible solution to the interchange improvements at 101 46 West. I would like to add also that the PSR included the realignment of Vine Street as well as Theater Drive so that it's further apart from that how it used to be, or no, it currently is, that was impacting the traffic. And then in the American Reinvestment Act, there was a grant that the city was able to get funding for, which gave us the money to realign Theater Drive. So Theater Drive has been constructed as part of this PSR, and now we're moving on to the roundabout, which is the two terminis for at the interchange. Anyway, so GHD reaffirmed that report, and then because the environmental documents was old, that too needed to be updated in the one that was done in 2009. So in May 2023, the environmental document was updated and revalidated by Caltrans. Now we're ready to actually do the design of those two roundabouts. And an RFP, request for proposal, was issued, and two firms responded to the RFP. Staff, city staff, Caltrans staff, and Slocog staff reviewed the two firms and concluded that the firm from GHD is the best RFP to do, the best response to this proposal. The proposal that GHD submitted was further fine-tuned and negotiated with a final fee of $2,292,926. Slocog had only a $1.3 million fund reserved for it, but they really wanted to move forward, and they were able to rearrange the allocations and their programming, and so another million was added to the grant, and so now we are able to award this project to GHD. I would like to add that this is totally funded by Slocog. There is no matching fund, any dollar amount match funds from the city. The only contribution for the city is staff time in administering the project. So that's the purpose of the staff report. And with your approval, we would move ahead and enter an agreement with GHD to prepare the plan specifications and estimates for the roundabouts at Highway 101 and Route 46 West. The goal is to have it shovel ready so that if and when there's a grant available to construct those two roundabouts, that we're ready to go, because the funding for construction has not been identified. Sorry, I went fast.
No problem, Thaddeus. Thank you. Councilman Bausch, let's start with Bausch and come this way.
Thank you. So, Thaddeus, earlier you said that ownership would then transfer to Caltrans somewhere down the road.
Well,
did I understand that correctly?
No, not transfer. They own that interchange. So
okay.
that is their.
That's theirs, anyway.
Yeah, they maintain that. They do everything. That is theirs.
I don't mean to beat you up on this at all. Not my point. But should somewhere down the road one lane not be adequate, who would be responsible for expanding that?
That would be Caltrans.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pro Tem Gregory.
And Caltrans is going to build it too, right?
Yeah.
Both roundabouts?
Yes.
Caltrans is going to build it?
Caltrans will build the roundabouts. It's their property.
I think they're hoping Slocog will find the money to build it.
I think they better meet with Slocog a little more.
If I may,
Councilman Strong.
Actually, Slocog and Caltrans do work together because there is no Caltrans project that is a new construction that they are allowed to build under state law without Slocog's approval. Slocog is required to approve that. But then it's Caltrans' responsibility to actually come up with the contract, hire the contractor, whatever. It's not Slocog that actually pays for it. It's the state that pays for it, usually but through a grant for that project requested by Caltrans.
Okay.
All right? That's how it works.
Any other questions from council? Anyone in the public wishing to make comment? Okay. Oh, Francisco, okay.
Francisco Ramirez, I'd like that you guys approve this and get it through so that Caltrans and Slocog can do their stuff.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Bring it back to council for direction and or...
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Any discussion on the other? All in favor? Let's go ahead and give a...
Aye.
Well, let's do a roll call vote on this, too. You have to. Yeah.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All righty. Thank you. Now, back to the regular lineup. Status briefing and general direction for LAFCO. Sphere of Influence and Municipal Service Review Update Process. Warren Franks.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council. Warren Franks, Community Development Director. This is a update and briefing item on a action that's being undertaken by LAFCO. Let's see if we can get this thing to advance. So LAFCO, that stands for the Local Area Formation Commission. They're in charge of basically approving any changes to municipal boundaries, typically annexations is what we would see them involved in. So they're required every 10 years to update what's referred to as the sphere of influence, which is the area of outside the city but adjacent to the city limits that the city would expect to incorporate or annex into the city in the future. So that's the SOI update. As part of the LAFCO process, the city and LAFCO have to demonstrate that the city has the capabilities to serve these areas. So there's what's also called a municipal service review, an MSR, that goes along in conjunction with the SOI changes. So municipal services are things like water, sewer, emergency services, roads, that sort of thing. So one of the requirements now with annexations, you have to demonstrate that you have the adequate facilities to serve those kind of infrastructure needs. Okay, so What LAFCO needs to do to initiate the process is they need to understand what sphere areas the city wants to study. So we've been working with LAFCO over the last couple months to come up with this concept study area map. And there's a number of different areas that are currently in the sphere that we want to talk about tonight. And then there's certain areas that aren't currently in the sphere that we want to consider potentially adding into the sphere for study. So what we want to do tonight is kind of walk you through the 11 different sphere areas, and then we're looking for the council to give us direction on which ones of these sphere areas should remain in for studying and which ones potentially we might want to consider dropping. So there's, as I mentioned, 11 different study areas. We've reviewed these all at a staff level. So all the departments went through and basically analyzed the different issues with these annexation areas. So like the fire department looked at issues like fire hazard and emergency access. Utilities division looked at water and sewer services. City engineer, public works looked at roads and transportation, planning looked at environmental sensitivity, our economic development manager looked at economic development, finance department looked at fiscal impacts, that sort of thing. So we tried to look at the kind of the full range of both benefits and potential pitfalls with annexations and score those. So we did kind of a red, yellow, green scoring. So where you see a green score, that would be somehow, you know, a beneficial or a low impact. A yellow would be more of a neutral, and then a red would be, you know, a difficult impact, either environmentally or maybe a negative fiscal impact to the city. So the more greens you have, the better. The more reds you have, those would be basically red flags that you really might want to not, you might want to consider not incorporating those areas into the city. All right, so as I mentioned, we have 11 study areas. We're going to run you through those really quick in terms of what our scoring is, and then at the end, we'll show you what the staff recommendation is. So study area one, this is the Mill Road annexation area that we're currently working on right now. So this is basically, you know, Barney Schwartz Park's right here, Mill Road, the Vina Robles Amphitheater's right there. So this is the study area right here. Basically that scored all as either positives or neutrals. Affordable housing wasn't scored because it's in the airport area, but this one is basically recommended to include in the study because it's mainly a benefit to the city if it's annexed. So that's study area one. Study area two is right next to this. This is the Vina Robles property that basically runs to the south. So there's Union Road, there's Barney Schwartz Park. So this is basically the Vina Robles property, also referred to as the East Chandler Ranch area. So Vina Robles has developed this winery already. They put in roads and infrastructure for a large lot rural residential subdivision that's basically improved with few houses in it, and then the remainder is in ag uses. This is basically scored primarily as negative for annexation. So we have issues with trying to get water and sewer out to this area. It's already subdivided for large lots, so your potential to do housing, especially affordable housing, is very low. It's already residential. Residential projects typically are a negative financial impact on the city. There's no real potential for sales tax or TOT generation here. So this score is low. The recommendation is not to include this study area in the future. All right, study area three. Now we're moved down South River Road. This is just below the Riverbank neighborhood off of Charlet. This is where Charlet Road theoretically was eventually going to go through. This is another existing rural residential subdivision. It's all broken into two to five acre lots. Most of those are developed with ranchette housing. We're okay on access to it for emergency and roads. Water and sewer would be a challenge there. Basically, affordable housing would be difficult here since it's already subdivided. Fiscal impacts would be negative. The other issue is this is what's considered an occupied subdivision, so you would have to get the majority of these landowners to vote. This would be a very difficult political exercise to try to annex this, and it's got very low potential in terms of what kind of new uses that you would add to it that currently don't exist. So recommendations not to include study area 3. All right, study area 4. Now we're over on 46 West. So the 46 West interchange that Ditas was just talking about is right here. So the ARCO station's here. This is the Target Center. So this is Ramada. This is the east side of Ramada. This area, Area 4, has been in our sphere for a number of years. It ranks fairly high. Water service is the primary challenge to get out there. Because there's vineyards, there'll be some environmental issues with the ag conversion that would have to be dealt with. Has a high potential for economic development potential. Basically, this being near the interchange could be a large commercial center potentially, which could be a big sales tax generator in the future to the city. Obviously, you have traffic issues you'd have to mitigate, including the interchange that we just talked about. But this is currently in the sphere of influence. Recommendation is to leave it in the sphere. Okay, Area 5. So the next couple of areas are basically on the west side of town. So let me jump back to the key map. All right, so we talked about 1, 2, 3, 4. So now the areas we're going to talk about, 5, 6, 7, and 8, these are all on the west side as you get, you know, up into the top of the hills. So these areas all have certain challenges that are pretty similar. All right, so Area 5. So this score primarily is negative. The reason is you can see you have steeper slopes, you have oak woodlands, you have you know, already subdivided uses out there. So your potential to develop any new uses would be probably limited to residential due to the slopes and the access issues. It would probably have to be single family. So fiscal impact would be negative to the city. It's a high fire hazard zone. Emergency access is very difficult. Getting water and sewer up there with new mains, fire hydrants, that sort of thing would be very, very expensive. So it's very hard to see how the investment in infrastructure and services to this area would ever, you know, manifest itself in a positive fiscal impact to the city. So that's the issue with Area 5. Recommendations to remove that from the sphere. Area 6, down by 19th Street, same thing. This is even steeper. This is very steep, very constrained, same sort of impacts. You know, very difficult to serve, very expensive to serve, low potential for any sort of, you know, new beneficial development uses for the overall community in this area. Area 7, around the cemetery, similar, most of it is the cemetery and existing residential. There's not much potential for new uses. Also, very hard to get new roads, water, and sewer out to that area. Recommendation to remove these sections 7A and 7B. And then Area 8, this is at the very north end of town along 101. It's a fairly large area, but once again, constrained by oak trees, very steep hills. We don't have any ability to get water, sewer, or roads through here that wouldn't cost literally a fortune to try to get that kind of infrastructure out here. And it's already developed, so there's not a large, flat, usable area here that you could develop for even, you know, affordable housing in this area. So recommendation is also to remove study area 8 from the sphere. All right, now moving on to area 9. So let's go back to the key map if I can. All right, so Area 9, so now we're going to move over basically to kind of the airport area, the Golden Hill Corridor. So Area 9 is right here behind the Lowe's Center on Golden Hill Road. And then Area 10 is basically off of Buena Vista up on the airport zone. So Area 9 scores fairly well. It's right next to existing city services. It's an existing rural residential area, but it's fairly easy to serve with water, sewer. It does have economic development potential if it was rezoned to a commercial use. It's in the airport zone, so you could not do housing of any sort in that zone. One of the main reasons though we'd want to consider this is where Wisteria Lane could potentially be connected through this area over to Dallin's Drive. That's part of your circulation element. It's been part of the circulation element for the last 15 years. As we develop the airport area, having Wisteria connect over to Cuesta College probably will have a pretty important circulation benefit to the city. Right now, if that area remains outside the city, it's going to be difficult for the city to build a road through that zone. This is where Wisteria Road is supposed to go, is basically kind of this ranch road.
Warren, couldn't even go over at the top of Cuesta over to Buena Vista as well? Is there enough room to keep going west instead of coming down into Dallas? Yeah, I know.
You know, it potentially could.
Could, yeah. More of a straight.
Yeah. Okay. It's not what's shown in the circulation element, but
okay.
At a planning level, it's very possible.
Okay.
So this is an area that's not currently in the sphere. Staff's recommendation is that we add this in at this level just to study it. Doesn't mean it's going to be added into the sphere, but we're going to ask LAFCO potentially to study this, and then we can make a decision about whether it gets included. So that's Area 9. And then finally, Area 10. So now we're out by the airport. So here's the boys' school. Here's Airport Road. There's Buena Vista. So the new Stravinsky Winery is going in right here. So this area would be kind of the area surrounding the boys' school and the existing rural residential out there. So it's fine for fire hazard, emergency access. Getting water out there is going to be a challenge. Sewer also will be an expensive challenge. Roads will have to be expanded. It's mainly vineyard, so that's going to be an environmental impact, converting that ag to urban uses. But the reason we want to consider it really is the economic development potential. As we're seeing the expansion of the wine industry and a lot of the industrial winery production moving into town, there's a lot of need for distribution and support services that are going to require really large warehouses. We have three winery warehouses under construction today. They're all 250,000 square feet. We're going to run out of land for that size of building fairly soon. If you kind of look in the Napa area, American Canyon basically has the industrial buildings that support the Napa wine industry, and right around their airport, they have millions and millions of square feet of large buildings that, you know, basically bottle production, distribution. It looks like, you know, if we're end up in kind of a similar position to Napa, we're going to need more land for that large scale industrial support for the wine industry. So this would be an ideal area where you could potentially accommodate this. Once again, we're not saying we're going to do it. This is really a question, should we even just start to study it and start thinking about it? So, you know, if the boys' school project is really successful and builds out quickly, and we fill in the last remaining parcels that are private next to the airport, you know, within the next 20 years, there's a potential that maybe we'll want to expand beyond it. And it wouldn't be that we'd annex the whole area, we might just bring in smaller pieces of it as necessary. So staff's recommendation is that why don't we include this and study that. And then finally, there's a parcel or study area 11. It's out by the landfill. Those are those buffer parcels that we've been talking about annexing. So the recommendation there is to definitely leave those in, and those will remain in for annexation because that's probably going to most likely be our next annexation. So those are those buffer parcels here. The landfill's right there. Tobin James Winery is right across the street here, out there on 46. All right, so we have a resolution. The staff recommendation is the council adopt the resolution. Basically, the table would have the status of the different areas to include and remove. So based on what we just walked through, Area 1 remains, 2 and 3 are removed, Area 4 remains, 5 through 8 are removed, we add 9 and 10, and 11 remain. So that's staff's recommendation, but the council is free to change this as they see fit. Be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Warren. Councilman Strong.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I guess Area 10 is, I'm thinking water. We've got a water well just south of the airport property on this side of Dry Creek Road. Is there a water well on the boys school property that might be converted to a city well?
No.
How are they getting their water?
Condemned.
Well, they're going to hook up to the city municipal system, and most of our new water supply is basically Nacimiento water.
Okay, but what I'm wondering, how did they get their water before?
So the boys school was historically on wells, but those wells will be abandoned as part of the boys school project.
Yes.
But there are wells there.
It's our policy on, anyway, the private wells need to be abandoned if they come within the city.
Okay, they can't be converted to city wells, huh?
Crystallized,
yeah. I took a look at those wells a few years ago. The construction of those wells is not what would be considered a municipal well. We couldn't use it for drinking water. There's not adequate sanitary seals, and
okay.
The water quality is very
right.
poor.
And then looking at Area 10, that's in that same general area. Is there any potential up there possibly for a municipal well also?
Well, it's not just drilling a well, which will cost about $1 million to install a basin well. It's connecting that well to the distribution system as well.
Oh. Okay, I'm just trying to think. Water seems to be a problem in so many of our annexations. It would be nice if we...
Well, it's not so much the water. We have the water. Just getting it to them, I believe, is the infrastructure problem. Correct?
Yeah.
Sure.
And Christopher, maybe you can speak to this. When we're talking about removing the East Chandler area or the Vino Robles, I thought the plan existed that eventually the city water line, the blended water, would make its way all the way out there as well as a sewer project. Am I not correct about that?
No, that is correct. The recycled water system is anticipated to include a elevated reservoir at Vina Robles.
So why would we want to remove that area?
Well, we are looking at doing this project like here very soon, within the next few months, being out for bid for construction. This annexation process is going to take a long time. We're working out a separate agreement, either a long-term lease or a sales agreement with Vina Robles for that parcel, even though it'll be outside of city limits.
Okay. Okay, I'm not understanding, because we want to remove that, but we are going to retain it? Is that...
It doesn't matter in terms of the recycled water system. It doesn't matter if Vina Robles is annexed or not. We're going to work out a separate deal with Vina Robles for 1¾ acres just to house the tank.
And I think Mr. Strong hit on the other thing that I was going to say, too, about the airport area. Same thing, be hooking up to municipal systems, as far as I know. So we're talking about removing these parcels, and they're not city-owned, they're just sphere of influence, right?
It's all private property.
For all private property. I can understand why we would remove 5 through 8. I'm not sure why we would remove 9 and 10.
It's not being removed. That's included.
Oh, it is included.
Right.
The blue okay, is I just saw the red, so I was, that's where I was confused. Sorry. Okay.
Real quick, Warren, I have a quick question on Area 2, East Chandler. There's two halves to Chandler, right? Chandler, there's a west and an east, so to speak.
Yeah, so West Chandler, which we call North Chandler,
yes, exactly.
is in the city limits.
Yep.
It's been in the city for decades. It's identified and basically allocated for 1,000 new housing units. It's the last specific plan that needs to happen. So we just had Cal Poly students do a concept for that site. So it's really up to the property owner to apply for a project there. But basically, that plus all the other development gets us through the 2045 build out, which is another reason you really don't need to entertain a large annexation. You just don't need that many units.
Got it. Councilman Gregory.
Yeah, so first question, are any of these private party initiated requests?
No.
The second question I have is on Area 11. Does that need to be expedited to allow for the process of that building that plant?
No.
Okay.
It's currently in the sphere. It's currently covered under the current MSR, so we'll just move forward with that.
Okay. So it can go ahead.
Yeah, this doesn't affect that moving forward. This basically just helps with, you know, clarifying future annexations after that.
So, and then I have a question, the city attorney. I am the vice chairman of LAFCO, so I want to make sure I don't have a conflict of interest. I don't believe I do, because I have to vote on it at LAFCO, and they're going to require me to
be
involved.
You're our representative, right?
I'm your representative.
Yeah, you're the city's representative, so no, so, you don't have a conflict.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Economic benefit.
No, that's not. The other way around.
Warren?
Yes.
Just a general reminder, we need to update the slide. It's still updated in the attachments.
Yeah, that was a bad exhibit. So when we publish the final exhibit, we'll put the high resolution version in.
Chris, any other questions, Chris? Yeah. Councilman Strong.
Yeah. I was in San Jose when they wanted to get a piece way outside the city for a particular reason, like we're doing here because we have the landfill. But they did a strip annexation along a road for 3 feet wide along the shoulder of a road because LAFCO, well, LAFCO didn't exist then, but there was a real big problem of having something disconnected from the rest of the city. Are we going to somehow do that same kind of sort of thing?
No, because the landfill is currently part of the city limits, and it is not connected, so there's not a requirement that it be contiguous.
Oh, it is in the city limits.
Yes, the landfill itself is.
Landfill,
oh,
but not the property.
There's no reason, yeah.
Yeah, the property we own, but it's in the county. That's the problem.
Okay, well, that one, probably we should move ahead with as quickly as we can then.
Right, and that's,
all right,
we're working on that.
Thank you.
Yep, got it. Okay, any other questions? I'll open up to public. Anybody have any questions from the public? Bring back council for direction and or discussion.
So I'd like to make a comment. Warren, I think your Area 10 is a brilliant idea, because I think you're 100% right about needing that property. Is there do we need to make a motion? What do we need to do here?
Yes, there's a resolution X, so we need a motion to adopt that, and then that would include the table that's currently on the screen, and then we'd update that one bad exhibit.
Okay, so I'm ready to make a motion.
Councilman Gregory.
So I move, let's see.
Introduce for
what's the quickest way to say this here? Resolution, there we go. I move that we approve resolution 24XXX, directing staff to forward the recommendation changes to the sphere of influence study areas to SLO LAFCO. Attachment one.
Second.
Motion by Gregory, second by Roden. Any discussion? Okay, call for the question, please.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right, thank you. All right, the last thing we have here is authorization for pickleball court complex at Sherwood.
You skipped one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. Is that what you guys been waiting for all this time? All right. Introduction, first reading ordinance for 489, which amends chapter as municipal code for restrict of dogs in public places. Yes. And who has, Commander, you have the idea here. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Members of the council, Mr. Mayor, thank you for having me this evening. I'm just here for the introduction, the first reading of the ordinance to repeal for ordinance 489, which amends municipal code 8.08055 to restrict dogs in public places. This is a first reading of that ordinance. Just a little bit of information about the ordinance. So it was adopted in 1984. It restricts all types of animals from all city parks without a city permit. That's how the count. That's how the current municipal code reads, except for service animals. The fine for such a thing is $20 per the municipal code. A few things that will stay in place if we do repeal, if the council does repeal this ordinance, is unnecessary noise is still in the code, that will remain in the code. Aggressive animals will remain in the code, and our leash law will continue to be on the books as it states today. This is only to repeal the municipal code to allow dogs in public places or our parks. Something to be noted, Title IX is the county code that was adopted in November of 23. It basically mirrors that of Title VIII of the Paso Robles Municipal Code. That code for the county establishes its animal services division and its authority in the county. They have contacted all cities, and we all collaborated on this code with animal services to basically they want every city to adopt Title IX. Why I'm letting you know about this tonight is there are several things in Title IX that if when we bring it to you is are adopted, it will clarify some more issues in our Title VIII. Title IX addresses animal waste and requires dog owners and cat owners to remove that unnecessary noise. It requires injury to animals by motorists to be required a notification. There's many other items in Title IX of the county code that will be brought to you in the next few months. But tonight is just to give you information that is out there, and we will be bringing it back to you. This evening, I was just presenting to you for the introduction of the first reading. And so our recommendation is that we approve that. And of course, I have if you have any questions, let me know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commander. Questions for start with Councilman Bells.
So, Commander, sorry about that. I waited until you got back here before. Thanks. Any thoughts on the buzz around town is that the donor of the park, Daniel Lewis, had two requirements: no alcohol, no dogs. We don't enforce the ordinance that was passed by Stu Ross in 1984. When did we stop enforcing that, and why?
I do not know. Sorry.
Have we ever enforced it?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
We know that if you're a council member and you walk your dog there, you can do that without impunity, right? Probably. So in 1984, it passed because there was too much feces. And now we have three times as many people, and we have lots more events, and we want to repeal that. We have a lot more tourists. Is that having that much? I'm worried about the health and safety issues. I'm worried about people that bring their children down to the park encountering feces intentionally or otherwise. More people within our city limits, more tourists. Means more dogs, potentially more dogs, more poop. Question, who's going to clean up the poop?
Well, as stated in my presentation, when we bring back Title IX to you or bring that county code to you, that could be a recommendation that we include that as a part of our municipal code, which would require the feces law that owners have to clean up after themselves.
Just a side note to that, anyone who goes to the parks right now, the dogs are in the parks. They're already there. Yeah. It's happening every day. You can go to downtown City Park any time of the day, and there's dozens of dogs there.
I agree. So, but some people know that you're not supposed to have their dog in the park, and they don't bring it. I think once this is formally removed, I think the unanticipated consequences that we'll have a lot more dogs in the park. We don't seem to have any restrictions, you know, leash laws, sidewalk, curbing your dog, those kinds of things. We want to repeal those without any other safety.
All of those are still in place, Mr. Bausch. That's All of those are still in place. The leash law, the loud dogs, all of those laws are still in place, and those will all, when we get calls on those, we would still respond for those.
And fighting dogs? Dogs that get into fights among themselves?
Yeah, we would still, if we get calls to those, we still go and handle
them. So that wouldn't necessarily, under Title IX, that wouldn't go to animal control?
Aggressive dogs are addressed in 8.06, which is not being amended. It's a different section of the municipal code.
Okay. So if I'm hearing this, there probably won't be any additional cost. It actually be a savings to the city? Is that what this is?
I can tell you from my looking at it, I do not see an additional cost, but obviously I can't determine that there won't be at some point. If someone wants to put further signage in, if there's other things like that want to be done, obviously that would be an additional cost to the city.
Okay.
Doing this would be none.
So, Attorney Hall, what are we assuming any additional liability with passing this? If somebody gets, we know dogs fight, we know that they bite, you know, little kids go up and touch dogs, the little kid's going to get bit. Who's responsible for that if we now amend this?
So that would be an issue between the dog owner and the private citizen. I don't believe we create any additional liability for ourselves. We currently have an ordinance on the books that we're not enforcing because we don't have a police officer standing in the
right.
Park dealing with it anyway, and the dogs are there. So we're really just modifying the code to reflect what's currently happening.
What reality is.
There are still provisions in the municipal code about aggressive dogs, about leash laws, that kind of stuff. Those aren't being amended. This is just whether or not they're allowed to be in the park.
Okay. So if a parent of a child who got bit was going to sue us, they'd sue us anyway.
They're going to sue us anyway, and we have immunities.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Gregory.
Yeah, Chief, so would there be any issues with a private group of people to raise money for doggy bags and signage in the park?
Kiosks.
Doggy kiosk. Wait a second.
Kiosk.
Too soon.
No issue.
We could sell doggy bags.
Hi, Angelica Fortin, Community Services. So there wouldn't necessarily be an issue with that if this were to be repealed. Parks and Trails staff will be monitoring to see if there's an increase in feces. They themselves acknowledge that we see dogs in all of our parks pretty frequently. And so once we monitor that, we can work to see if we would like to recommend bags in our parks, where those would be located, and potential options for how we would fund those.
So if we have potential people that want to donate to put those up, that's not a problem. So
they can contact us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can contact me.
Thank you.
Councilman Strong.
Yeah. I'm wondering why we never put up any signs. At Pismo Beach, at the beginning of their pier, they have a big sign, no dogs allowed, other than service dogs.
We actually have signage, Mr. Strong.
But they're so obscure, you can't really see them.
They're kind of like parking signs.
Pardon me? They kind of get disappeared at one.
We need something, you know, at each entrance so that people know not to bring the parks in. I could see the problem primarily with tourists who wouldn't have any idea if they don't see the sign, which is very obscure.
Nope, I understand. We have signage. It's how much signage do you put?
You don't think it's inadequate?
I'm not saying whether it's inadequate or not. I'm actually trying to repeal it. So
yeah. All right. Thank you, Councilman Roden.
I know the concerns, and I've heard some of the concerns about people not cleaning up after their dogs, it becoming a dog park. People are letting them off leash, and the only thing I can say is that if you have an ordinance of any kind, you have to have some sort of enforcement, and part of that is knowledge of what the rules are. And Mr. Strong brings up a good point. We do have signage, but it's pretty obscure. We don't want to put a 10 by 10 foot sign, but just to put them at the entrance of the park of each one, people come in on the sides and everywhere else. They park, they walk in. It's not necessarily coming in on a specific entrance. So we're going to have to talk about how we notify people that they have to be on leash, that they have to clean up after them. And even if you go to dog parks, if you guys have got dogs, there are people there that they know good and well what the rules are, and they still don't abide by them, and you have problematic situations regardless. And that's when you, unfortunately, have to call the police department, and they have to take time out of their day on more important things to come over and address something somewhat benign. But it's important that we keep our parks clean. It's important that we follow the ordinances. It's just getting the information out there that we're going to have to nail down. So if you have any suggestions about what we can do, or anybody here, we already have certain ordinances in place that nobody pays attention to. I don't mind people bringing their dogs to the park, just clean up after them and keep them on leash. And, you know, you have to be a responsible parent no matter what, whether it's a child or a dog.
Right.
You know, so don't let kids beat up on each other either, you know.
I take exception. I'm a dog owner, not a dog parent. Take exception to that.
All right.
Exception understood.
Yeah. I'll tell you the real story about this. I was around when it happened. It was in 1984. Boy, and that it just ran and rolled in dog poop, set him on his desk, and said, do something. And that's how we got this ordinance back in the day. You know, I agree, everybody's going to bring their dog. I don't have a problem with that if they are good dog owners. And so what I'm going to say is, you know, we need to enforce as a minimum set of rules about dog etiquette, I guess, somehow put that on the books. We need to also put in poo bag post, I guess, whatever, give them the opportunity to be able to clean it up. But you know, it's all complaint basis, just like this happened in 84. Somebody was so mad and went to the director, put the child on the desk and made it happen. So again, I'm all good with, you know, bringing it down, just so long as we have some sort of enforcement authority for our police department to, you know, take care of a complaint when it does happen. We need to have that.
And Mr. Mayor, I agree with you 100%. I agree with everything, you know, everyone has said. I think from the perspective that I got and what it was relayed to me from some others, you have people that take their dogs to restaurants now.
Yeah.
We have people that take their dogs everywhere. It is clear they are already taking them to our parks. And we are, by not enforcing or however you want to look at it, we are, you know, we're setting them up for failure currently.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this does lead us to do a couple more things to make this feasible and more efficient for our citizens and for us to keep it clean for our citizens, you know, I don't disagree with that.
Parks and trails, we have how many different parks that, I mean, this is not just the downtown park. We have several parks that we'd have to kind of get this geared up for. So, I mean, there's going to have to be a budget item here to be able to kind of get this ready to be able to allow them to do the, you know, the correct thing.
No, and I'm willing to take whatever recommendation council would like to give today.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all I have.
Mr. Chairman, I know I've been kind of crappy about this, and I apologize, but there is a deed restriction on this property. I don't know if anybody reached out. Mr. Strong, I don't think you were around when that property was dedicated, but
no,
you might remember.
I wrote the history.
Okay.
And there is a deed restriction, but I don't think it covered the animals. It covered alcohol. And we're already violating that one.
But has anybody reached out to the heirs of the property and just sent them a letter and say,
there
hey?
There are over 100 heirs. There is no way to get unanimous agreement on anything.
So and we should just therefore ignore it?
It's not going to happen.
Ms. Hall?
That's why we ignore it, and nobody says anything.
Elizabeth, can you maybe enlighten us on how we can handle that?
So I'm not aware of a deed restriction on the property. We can certainly pull a title report and take a look at what it says.
Is there time?
Yeah, it goes back to the origins of the city.
Is there a time?
1889.
Is there a time limit on something that's been given to the city?
Not on something that's been given to the city. There's the rule of perpetuities, which applies to land transfers.
So do we need to look into that?
Does it get 3 votes to do so?
I think you can do your first reading and move forward with that if you'd like, and we can have a title report pulled between now and then.
Okay.
If you'd like us to.
Okay. I'll open it up to the public. Anyone wishing to have a comment on this item? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to council for direction.
Mr. Mayor?
Council.
I do have to say this because the only citizens in my area who talked to me about this said, vote against it. And here's why. They said statistically, the number one reason small children are brought to the emergency room is dog bites. And it's mostly small children who don't know any better and love doggies. Oh, doggy, a doggy. And they wander up to the dog, and the dog doesn't know this person and is just used to its family, and it defends itself by biting. And it's usually a bite in the face. And that was one of the big concerns. And I have to listen to that to some extent. That we have so many children in that park, especially when the big playground area. The other objection was, you're going to have dogs at concerts? When you have concerts in the park and dogs howling while these bands are playing? That doesn't make any sense either. So I'm sorry, but this is one time I think I'm going to listen to my citizens.
So, Mayor Hammett.
Pro Tem Gregory.
So just like anything else, problems need to be managed, and we don't have a management in place for the dogs in the park, and that you put in little poop bag stations and signage on the stations, signage in the park, leash laws, it all happens. I don't believe the statistics about small children and dog bites, sorry, but as a responsible dog trainer and handler, I make people go back and clean up after themselves, and the community itself will enforce that, in my opinion. But I think it's good to manage it and state it, and I'd be more than happy even to contribute to that. But there's several dog owners who love the park. One thing you need to remember is that it's the only open area in downtown. You have a lot of people that have dogs downtown, so it's really nice for them to go down there and support the local businesses and walk their dogs, blah, blah, blah. But like every other issue, you got to manage it and provide the correct equipment to manage the problem. That's my opinion.
Well, we were trying to do that with parking, and that didn't work so well. But
well, no, we fixed that.
Okay, so, any other discussion?
I think there are multiple lots on that. I'm not sure where the deed restriction would be attached to, so if you need help with that, let me know. But there's several, if I recall correctly, there's several different lots down there. Or next there.
But this, again, this is not just our city park. This is all the parks that we're talking about here, correct? So, okay. So we have a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I move that we introduce the first reading by title only ordinance XXXX, repealing section 808055 of the Paso Robles Municipal Code to regulate control of dogs in public places.
Second.
You have a motion by Gregory, second by Roden. Any discussion? Call for the question.
I just accept it.
Yeah.
What's good for staff?
So we'll set it for a second reading after we pull the title report. We'll just bring it back when we have the information that you've requested.
You're good?
Okay, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Roden?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
No.
Councilmember Strong?
No.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-2.
Okay. All right, moving on now to authorization of the pickleball complex at Sherwood Park to bid out for construction. Frida?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Frida Berman, Public Works Director. Tonight, we ask that you consider authorizing the pickleball complex at Sherwood Park be bid for construction with an estimated construction cost of $3.4 million. It's been a very long road getting to this point. The courts were originally envisioned to be on the south side of Scott Street next to the dog park. During initial design development, it was determined that that floodplain conditions made that site infeasible. The project was then relocated to the north side of Scott Street next to Sherwood Well number 9. This location also presented significant challenges and required careful and close coordination with the water department and additional work by the architect and subconsultants to assure that the construction of the pickleball courts and amenities would not negatively impact well operations and maintenance. As you can see on the screen, the approved project design includes 7 courts, a pervious concrete parking lot, new restroom building, barbecue pit, shade structures, and other associated amenities. The original construction estimate was just under $1.2 million, and the current capital improvement budget already has appropriated that money, $833,500 of ARPA monies and $354,500 of parks development impact fees. But we need to find $2.5 million more. $750,000 in additional parks DIF fees are available to be used because, as per the development impact justification studies study, DIF fees can fund up to 30% of the overall project. That leaves $1.75 million that must come from unrestricted resources, and city general fund reserves are at minimum levels. City Council could choose to redirect ARPA funds dedicated toward the South Vine Street Bridge to fund the anticipated shortfall with the pickleball project. That action would result in an increased construction loan when the bridge project is underway. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Frida. Questions for Frida?
Councilor Roden. When I first read about this updated budget, it was, as I recall, an increase of 185%. Have you gone through the line item to find out what changed in 2 years?
Absolutely. And what has happened is in the last 2 years, estimated contracting costs have exponentially increased. Supplies and materials have exponentially increased.
In two years, though? I mean,
absolutely, since COVID. And so this is worst case scenario. We are anticipating and hoping that the bids come in lower than $3.4 million. But we want to do our due diligence and let you know where it could be and make sure we have a funding source if it comes in at that level.
I know it's not just the courts, but if you just take the courts and there's 7 courts there, that's almost $490,000 per court.
And you're absolutely right, but you can't look at it that way. The parking lot itself, because of stormwater requirements, had to be designed with pervious concrete. That's more expensive than other forms of materials. We had to put in multiple deep retention basins for the project per requirements. We have a prefab restroom building. We have 2 shade structures, a barbecue pit, and that patio area, and parking improvements on the street.
How much have we actually paid for to date?
We have only paid for design.